This morning, you'll find in your bulletin a survey. It lists some topics here that have to do with different opportunities that we have as believers to minister into people's lives. And I've listed some here, plus I've given you a blank to write in some that you might be interested in. And I'd like to do this survey to sort of guide me in maybe some things that I can cover on Sunday evenings to help you minister to other people better and in a more effective way. Maybe you know of someone who is going through abortion or considering an abortion. How do you minister to somebody like that? Or someone that's a victim of abuse. How do you minister to people who are going through that? Someone that is trapped in the addiction of alcohol or drugs. How can we as Christian friends minister to those people and serve them and help them? Those who are going through death and grief and bereavement, terminal illness, those who are depressed and going through divorce and other things, as you look through there, just check some of those things that you'd like to know better, how you might be able to minister to people who are facing those kinds of things in their life. And if you would just fold it and put it in the offering receptacle at the back, and I can use that to help guide at least the order, the importance of what we would like to talk about and think together about on Sunday nights. If you haven't caught it by now, what we're trying to do in these first few weeks of the new year is sort of set an agenda for us as a church and as God's people about where we want to go and how we want to grow this year. And we talked about how we want to be salt and light. We want to be a light to the world that reflect the presence of Jesus, and we want to be salt in that we want to bring flavor to the world and preserve the world, and we want to be salt and light all that we can. And we want to do that in several different ways. First of all, we want to be salt and light by committing ourselves to reading God's Word, spending time in God's Word, and being part of a small group Bible study in 2023, so that our salt can be saltier and our light can be brighter. And then also, we talked about how we want to spend time in prayer in 2023, and you were given a sheet of paper last week that had a plan on how to have a holy hour of prayer in your life, and just challenging you to set aside a 30-day period of time where you follow that plan every day as you come to the Lord in prayer. And in that way, trying to develop a consistent daily prayer life in 2023. And then last week, we talked about how important it is for us to worship and come together as God's people to worship the Lord and to glorify His name. And all of this works into us being salt and light in the community in 2023. And today I want to share with you what I believe is a very important thing that many of us in the new year need to be looking at, and that is, how can we minister to the needs of others? How can we look around us, maybe where we work, in our neighborhoods, in our church, in our families, and how can we see and understand those opportunities that God might be placing in front of us to be salt and light in that situation, to be salt and light for that person's life, to minister, to give ourselves away in ministry and service to others. I think that's really important. Really, it's sort of like, you know, you're reading God's Word and you're praying and you're worshiping and you've got the salt in the salt shaker and it's ready. Now, how do we get the salt out of the salt shaker and into the world? And we do that, first of all, by looking for those opportunities to minister in other people's lives, to serve other people. And so this morning, I want us to think together about that. The New Testament church understood that it was their responsibility to minister to the needs of others. In the New Testament church, one of the things that happened there is when people looked around and saw that their brothers and sisters in Christ had a need, they felt like it was their responsibility to help serve them and minister to them and help meet that need. In Acts 2:45, Luke tells us that the early believers, when they saw the needs of their brothers and sisters in Christ, they would go to the extreme of even selling their property and taking the proceeds and bringing them to the church leaders so that they might be able to meet the needs of those who may be hungry in their fellowship or may have other needs, greater needs than they had. We just read in Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7, that the early church was a church that they basically had three things they wanted to do as a church. First of all, they wanted to preach the gospel, to teach God's word. The apostles felt like that was their unique responsibility and calling, was to teach God's word, and they wanted to spend time doing that. It was really important. But they also wanted to spend time in prayer, leading God's people to pray. They felt like that was important for the church, to be in prayer. And then they also wanted to meet the needs of those who could not meet their own needs themselves. And in that day and time, most of those who could not meet their own needs were widows in the church who didn't have a husband to provide, or maybe children to help them. And so there were Jewish widows in the church, and there were Greek widows in the church, and they felt like it was their responsibility as a church to make sure that these widow ladies, their needs were met. And in the process of trying to be that kind of church, they had a problem. They had grown so fast, and so many people, and they had so many widows to minister to. There were some, the Grecian Jews, who felt like they were being neglected. And so the apostles called a meeting, and they set aside seven men whose responsibility it would be to make sure that the needs of these widows would be met. And they said, you know, it's not right for us to take time from the preaching and the study of God's word and to take time from leading you in prayer to wait on tables. And they set aside those seven men to meet those needs. That's how serious they were about that. They were a church who understood that they were there, they existed, not only to share the gospel with those who needed to hear it, and not only to pray for those who needed God to work in their life, but they felt the responsibility of making sure that the practical and spiritual needs of others were met. It was a responsibility of that early church. And in fact, when they lived up to that responsibility, the scripture tells us that they prospered and they reached more people and the church grew. I like what Peter said in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, another passage of scripture that we read this morning. He was talking about how we, each of us, have received a gift. Each of us as believers have received a gift. Why? So that people can look at us and say, man, look how gifted that person is. Isn't he? He must be a very wonderful Christian. Is it so we can worship one another in our gifts? No. Is it so we can stand back and be proud of the gifts we have? No. We've been given gifts, Peter says. What? To serve each other. To serve each other. To help meet the needs of one another. And then he goes on to say that we're to be good stewards in that. We are to take what God has given us, that very grace, those gifts that he has given us, and we should use it. If it's a gift to speak, then we should speak the very words of God. If it's a gift to serve, then let's serve in the strength that God gives us. Why? So that we can be glorified? So that we can have the world look at us and say, man, what kind of church is that? Isn't that a wonderful church? No, it's so that God can be glorified. It's so that people can see through how we meet other people's needs and how we love each other and how we minister to each other, they can see God's hand in that, and they can look and say to us, God be the glory for how he's using you in the lives of other people. One of the things we need to ask ourselves, I believe, as believers, and I need to ask myself, not just as a pastor, but as a believer as well, is how well am I doing at that? How well am I taking the gifts that God has given me and giving them in service and ministry to others? And in 2023, we need to commit ourselves to doing that and to engage in those kinds of ministries and service to others. Think for a moment. Think for a moment. Who in your family do you need to serve in some way today? Who in your community? You may not even really know their name or be familiar with them, but you've observed that they have a need in their own life. How can you serve them and minister to them? Maybe you've seen news on the television locally and about different needs in the community. Have you ever asked yourself, God, how do you want me as a believer? How do you want me as your servant to be involved in some way to minister and serve in that situation? We need to ask ourselves those kind of questions. Because you see, worship, though it can be so good and wonderful, and it helps us and it just lifts us up, worship is not just an end within itself. Reading God's word is just not an end within itself. It's just not something we do to make us feel good, to make us feel accomplished. It's not, praying is not something we do just to make us feel good inside, though it does, and we're grateful for that. All of that that we do, praying and worshiping and reading God's word, is to prepare us to minister to others, to give ourselves away to others, to be involved in other people's lives who need us and need to understand that we care for them. So this morning, I want us to think about three things about ministering to others. First of all, I want us to think together about what serving and ministering to others actually consists of. Ministry is the logical outcome of worship. Remember last Sunday, we talked about Isaiah. At the end of that time of worship with the Lord asked him, "Who shall I send and who will go for me?" And at the end of worship, after Isaiah had that wonderful worship experience, he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." The logical end of worship is not just going home and feeling good, but it's standing before God before we go home and saying, "Okay, Lord, here I am, send me, show me where you want me to go." Ministry is undergirded by a biblical understanding of what God wants to do in our life. Every believer, everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ that sits in this room today has been called to be a minister, not just the one who stands behind this podium and preaches. We are empowered by prayer to minister, and we are fueled by worship to minister and meet the needs of others. Ministry is serving for every called and a calling for every believer. We are called to minister. Really, what we need to understand is that the motto of us as believers is we gather here to worship. We gather here to worship, but when we leave, we scatter to minister and to serve others in their life. Ministry and service, as Peter talked about, is gift-based. God never asks us to do anything that He hasn't already equipped us or given us the gifts to do. Ministry and service is empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and empowers us as we give ourselves to Him, empowers us to minister to the needs of others. Ministry and service is what we do for God's glory and not for our own. And it's based on where He has placed us. You see, ministry is just not something God calls us to and then says, "Okay, I'm going to move you somewhere to do it." Ministry is something that God calls us to do and expects us to get busy doing it where we are. And when He's ready for us to do it somewhere else, He will move us to do that. But ministry is something we do now. Every time someone comes up to me and asks me, and sometimes I have lots of folks that come up to me and ask me, Garvin, I really feel like God wants me to serve the church, wants me to preach, wants me to be involved in some kind of ministry. And they're usually always talking about wanting to be a pastor or be on staff at a church. And when they share with me that, the first thing I ask them is, okay, where are you going to church now, and how involved are you in your own local church? And I ask that question because if you're not already involved where you are, if you're not already giving yourself away in ministry where you are, don't expect God to give you any other opportunities yet. If you're not even attending church and yet you're wanting to be in ministry, you got to start somewhere. God uses people. God can lead people who are moving for Him. He doesn't use too many people who aren't doing anything for Him anywhere, anytime. You'd be surprised at men who call and say, I want a pastor, and they're not even attending church anywhere. It doesn't work that way. And what we need to understand about ministry is you minister where you are, and you minister for God's glory, and it's based on where He has placed you now and how He has gifted you and what He has called you to do according to His infinite wisdom and for the proclamation and the sharing of the gospel. If you want God to use you, let Him use you where you are. That's where ministry and service starts. Ministry and serving the Lord has two focuses for us as believers. There's a ministry that needs to take place inside the church, that God has something for all of us to do inside these four walls. It may be teaching a Sunday school class. It may be teaching a Bible study. It may be some kind of age group ministry. It may be keeping a nursery or ministering in the nursery or ministering in children's church or in some way meeting one-on-one and discipling a friend or a neighbor or someone in your church. It might be a visitation, visiting people in the hospital, having looking at the opportunity to use your talents and gifts in music and worship, just to be hospitable toward others, friendly toward others, maybe serving in some ways that we see here in just putting together a church directory or some things like that, or in praying for each other. There are lots of opportunities to serve and minister within the church. But let's not forget that God also expects us as His people to have something going on outside of these four walls, touching those people that would never come into the doors of our church, sharing the gospel with those who need to hear it, working with those who are needy and homeless and who need a help and need help and hope, working with other ministries that are reaching into our community in lots of different ways. Those are ways that we can serve and that we can minister to the needs of others. We just need to ask God to show us where He wants us to be. Well, let's look at how we are to serve others. You do know that the way you discover God's calling on your life to serve is you just start serving. And then God will reveal to you what He wants you to do. Once you identify that God's calling you to serve, then it's up to God to reveal to you what He wants you to do and where He wants you to do it. We need to identify our calling by serving until He opens up the doors where He wants us to go. Service that as we serve Him and identify the place of ministry, we also begin to identify the people that God wants us to minister to. Ministry depends on God to provide the resources for ministry. If you're waiting for God to dump some money in your lap to be able to minister, you'll be waiting for a long time. But if you'll minister and allow God to provide as you minister, God will give you what you need. Where God guides, He provides. We need to understand that some opportunities are obvious in front of us and are waiting for us to see them. we are attracted to it, and sometimes there are opportunities that take us by surprise that we never really even thought that God would lead us into that kind of ministry. That was true of a ministry that God called me into when I was working with our state convention. When the person that was my supervisor said, "We're going to start a ministry to bikers at Sturgis." I'm not a biker. I'm a golfer. I didn't understand bikers. But as I began to pray about it, as we began to pray and God led in that ministry, we realized that that was the opportunity that was in front of us, and there were people who needed to hear the gospel. And because God opened that door, we believed we better serve there. There were a lot of other doors that opened because of that. There were a lot of churches that started in the Black Hills because of people who came to the bike rally to share the gospel with a bunch of bikers and looked around and understood, you know, there are a lot of people here who need the Lord. And many of the church planters that have started churches in the last 15, 20 years got introduced to the Black Hills because of a ministry at the Sturgis Bike Rally. And God used that in so many different ways. You never know when you commit yourself to serving and ministering to God and you think you're meeting this one little need over here, you never know how many more needs God is meeting because you're meeting that one little need because God's working in that whole situation. Ministry must be centered and it must be gospel focused. Ministry without sharing the gospel is only social work, and it fails to answer the true, deepest need of every person. We have to do more than to hand a sandwich to a homeless guy. We have to talk to him about the true bread of life and about how God can make a difference in their life. We need to understand that ministry and sharing the gospel goes hand in hand. But ministry and service benefits not only God's kingdom, but it benefits us. And how does it do that? Well, when we minister to one another, we receive a benefit of being able to connect with each other. When we see the need in someone else's life, or we see someone that needs a friend, or we see someone that needs help in some way, and we begin to help them, we make that connection with another person, and before long, that connection becomes a relationship, and it helps us and benefits us, and it benefits them. It connects us to others. We cannot live the Christian life in isolation. We cannot truly live and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ without also in some way meeting the need of someone else and sharing Him with others. Another benefit to serving and ministering to others is that you'll discover your spiritual gift and talents. Someone has asked me, "Is how can I know my spiritual gift? How can I know what God wants to do through me?" It's the Nike principle. Just do it. Just do it. God will reveal the gifts you have as you serve Him. One thing you can do, you can take a gift survey. And you go through this survey and answer all these questions, and that's a good way. It helps you to become aware of yourself and what you enjoy doing and everything. But you know, those gift surveys don't really reveal what gift you have. It just reveals how you're going to do ministry for whatever God shows you to do. It's not a scientific thing, but it is a spiritual thing that as we commit ourselves to the Lord and as we ask Him to show us what He wants us to do, then the benefit is that He begins to reveal to us, here's the way I made you, here's the way I wired you, and here is what I want you to do with it and how I want you to serve others. As we serve and minister to others, another benefit is that we begin to understand the very character of God. You know, when we serve other people, our inclination is to think, okay, God is going to take what I'm doing to help that person and really change that person. And that person is going to understand who God is because of what I'm doing. And really what happens is while that person is beginning to understand through our service and our ministry who God is and what God is all about, we begin to learn and discover more things about God that we did not realize or know. Because God reveals to us as we serve Him about who He is and what He's all about. We need to understand that one of the benefits of serving and ministering to others is that we discover in deeper ways and in more expansive ways about who God is and about His character. But we also discover, as we serve Him, we discover more about God's purpose for us and how He fulfills it in our life. I like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It tells us about our purpose. Oh, it doesn't tell us that you're going to be a pastor or you're going to be a Sunday school teacher or you're going to be a mother or you're going to be a father. It doesn't tell us that, but it does tell us that we are His, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. One of the benefits of serving and ministering to others is that we discover in a deeper way what God's purpose is for us, and we discover how God works to fulfill it in our life, and we discover that God has a special plan for us and has created us to serve Him and to serve others, and that we are His workmanship. But also another benefit when it comes to serving and ministering to others is that it brings joy. Most of the time when I've lost the joy of my salvation, most of the time when I do an inventory of my life and realize I'm just not as happy as I used to be about following Jesus and serving Him, it is usually because I am not serving and ministering to someone else. There is a joy that comes in our life when the priority of our life spells out joy. Jesus, others, and then you. And we need to understand that. Also, we get the benefit. When we serve God, we get the benefit that it gets our focus off of ourselves. You know, the world is really all about me. You ever feel that way? Sometimes we're not careful. We fool ourselves into thinking that, you know, really God has gotten a pretty good deal when He got me, and everything sort of centers around me. Sometimes we find ourselves in that kind of situation. And sometimes we begin to think that and act like that and live like that, and we don't even realize it. It becomes a blind spot. But what we need to understand is that we're a whole lot happier, and we are serving God in more effective ways when we understand that the focus should not be on me, it needs to be on others and their needs. That's the key to living a happy and fulfilled life. That prepares us for heaven because God wants us to live that way. Where is your focus today? Is your focus on God and others, or is your focus just on you and on what you need and what you want and what you want to accomplish? Is it focused on your agenda, or is it focused on God's agenda for you? And then another benefit is that as we serve Him and we minister to the needs of others, it advances the kingdom of God. It advances His kingdom. I have certain things I would like to accomplish in this life. That's my kingdom. I have certain things I would like to accumulate in this lifetime. That's my kingdom. God is not obligated to see that my kingdom comes to pass, but He does say that His kingdom will. And we need to get involved in His kingdom and understand that as we serve one another, as we serve each other, as we minister to each other's needs, as we reach out in the community around us and we try to reach out and embrace a community and love them up to Jesus Christ, we need to understand that that advances the kingdom of God. And then last thing, the last benefit of serving and ministering is that God will take care of your needs. God will take care of what you need. Sometimes God calls us to do some things and we wonder, how in the world are we going to accomplish that? God promises that He'll take care of what we need. Do we trust Him enough and have faith enough to just settle that fact that no matter what my bank account looks like and no matter what kind of time I have, no matter how I'm taken up with work, no matter what the pressures of my life might be, God will take care of it. He will take care of my needs. Ministering to the needs of others is one way we let our light shine, and also is how we get the salt that we need to be out of the salt shaker, us, and into the lives of others. Let's get into God's Word by reading it and studying it. And let's devote ourselves to a consistent prayer life. And let's engage in God-honoring worship. And now let's look around to the world around us. And let's minister to the needs of others as we discover those needs. Let me encourage you to think about people. Think about their needs. And ask yourself, how can I minister to people who are going through these kinds of situations and circumstances that are listed on this list? How can I minister to them and help meet their needs? It all starts with letting God's Word speak to your heart, praying that God will lead you to those opportunities, and consistently coming before Him in worship and making yourself available to be used of Him. Let's bow together. This morning, before we celebrate the Lord's Supper, Ken's going to come and sing a song. I'll stand here at the front. If God's spoken to you about something in your life that you need to take care of this morning, you just need to talk to somebody, I'll be here at the front. You can come and do so. Or as God speaks through this song that's about to be sung, and God's speaking to you about being involved in some kind of ministry, and you just need some help with that, I'd be happy to meet with you and talk to you about opportunities that might be in front of you here at the church or in our community that you can reach out and be a part of somebody's life today. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Help us to commit ourselves to you. Help us to be willing to give ourselves away in time, gifts, money, every way, and allow you to use us in ministering and serving others. And we ask this in your name. Amen.